Tonight, the clash in Carolina. Republicans ready to collide in tonight's debate. Donald Trump skyrocketing in our brand new poll, and his closest rival on the defense over some big money. Was it a cover-up? Another teen killed by Chicago police. A judge blasting the city for trying to keep evidence from the public. Another black eye for the department and the mayor. Outbreak, a rapidly spreading virus that is so dangerous, it has health experts warning Americans, especially pregnant women, to stay away from the hot zones. And a Amal Clooney exclusive, her first U.S. television interview. How the attorney and wife of actor George Clooney is using her star power to fight an out-of-control crisis. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. We begin with a brand new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll and a pair of eye-openers in the Republican race. Donald Trump has more than doubled his lead nationally over Ted Cruz since December. Trump now leads a Republican pack at 33%. And in a clear sign, Republican voters are taking his campaign more seriously. 65% say they could now see themselves supporting Trump, up from 23% in March, and narrowing the gap with Cruz, who at 71 tops on that question. It's a critical snapshot of the state of the race 2.5 weeks before the Iowa caucuses and just hours before tonight's Republican debate. Here's Hallie Jackson with the latest.
Filling up and counting down to tonight by the numbers. From 10 candidates this summer to 7 on the main stage tonight. Zero room for mistakes. And for the top two, new challenges.
Thank you, and God
bless. Ted Cruz defending himself against news he borrowed money from Goldman Sachs, his wife's employer, for his first Senate run without telling the FEC, though he did file proper personal disclosures. The loans from Goldman and Citibank, up to $750,000.
It is an inadvertent filing question. The facts of the underlying matter have been disclosed for many, many years. It is not complicated. Our finances are not complicated.
Cruz, knocking the New York Times report, now knocked off message, facing potentially a perception problem.
There are too many Republicans who are eager to bail out Wall Street.
Which could contradict his narrative as a populist warrior. Was he trying to hide something by not putting the Goldman Sachs name on this loan when he was running as a Tea Partier in this
No, campaign? And there's also the FEC filing of first-time candidates a little different than the ones who are incumbents. So he believed at the time that he filled out the form entirely correctly. I think people see it for what it is. It's really a big nothing burger.
Not to Donald Trump.
But I hear it's a very big thing. I hope he solves it. I think he's a nice guy, and I hope he gets it solved.
Trump, hoping to kill Cruz with kindness, but facing a new kind of attack that he's not conservative enough, to New York for Iowa and New Hampshire.
When you want to knock New York, you got to go through me.
Everybody else fighting to take down the field's number one.
There's really two contests going to be happening. Donald Trump and Ted Cruz will make all the headlines, but it's really the establishment guys that need to start making their moves.
But for now, our new poll shows more Republicans than ever could see themselves supporting Trump. Numbers he might like.
We have a president.
As for other storylines, watch for the establishment candidates tonight to fight back against the frontrunners and fight each other with time running out to make their case to voters. Will Marco Rubio again come out as one of the perceived winners? And how will Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, and John Kasich try to stand out? They've been hitting each other hard, Lester, particularly in New Hampshire. So let's see how it plays out here in South Carolina.
Hallie Jackson, thanks. In the Democratic race, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders continue to step up attacks on each other while locked in a dead heat in Iowa. In fact, the latest poll shows Clinton falling to just a 2-point lead over Sanders in Iowa, but well within the margin of error. Clinton, Sanders, and Martin O'Malley will square off in the NBC News YouTube debate, which I will moderate along with Andrea Mitchell live from Charleston this Sunday night at 9 Eastern. It's the last time these candidates will meet before the votes are cast in Iowa. In Chicago, a new chapter in the troubling saga involving that city's police department and its embattled mayor, a department that has seen its superintendent fired and one of its officers charged with first-degree murder in recent months. Today, a judge ordered the release of surveillance video involving another controversial police shooting of a young man. We get details from Stephanie Gosk.
The grainy video shows 17-year-old Cedric Chapman running from Chicago police 3 years ago, suspected of stealing a car. Officer Kevin Fry says he thought the teenager had a gun and his partner was in danger, so he fired 3 deadly shots. All Chapman had in his hand was a box for an iPhone. The Chapman family is suing for wrongful death, a claim the city denies. In December, city lawyers attempted to block the release of the video. While that same week, Mayor Rahm Emanuel was being asked why it took so long to release another video, the police shooting of 17-year-old Laquan McDonald, the mayor promised change.
A reinvigorated city that has the accountability, the discipline, as well as the transparency in place.
But the city didn't drop its objection to the release of the Chapman video until yesterday, just before the judge's ruling. At a public event today, the mayor wasn't planning on answering our questions, but ultimately explained the about-face.
You're going to get to the bottom of something and get to the, justice is exactly with the U.S. attorney, FBI, and the state's attorney.
Since November, the mayor's office has come under fire for how it handled the McDonald case, a few even calling for his resignation.
We ask for transparency from the mayor. Be transparent in your conversation, because many of us believe that the withholding of these tapes is for political gains.
Now attention is on Cedric Chapman. Since 2003, Officer Fry has 30 complaints filed against him, 10 for excessive force, exonerated each time by the Independent Police Review Authority.
He should not be on the job.
Lorenzo Davis investigated the Chapman case for that review authority and recommended Fry lose his job. His decision was overruled, and months later, Davis was fired.
I was fired because there were several cases that I would not change my findings on.
His job review, obtained by NBC News, notes among several criticisms that he refused to change his findings in disagreement with the entire chain of command. The city is fighting Davis's wrongful termination suit and maintains Chapman was shot justifiably, leaving some in Chicago watching yet another video and wondering whether Mayor Rahm Emanuel is ready to really reform. Tomorrow, the mayor is holding his annual Martin Luther King Jr. prayer breakfast, and an activist group has called for a boycott. Tonight, that group tells us that dozens have backed out in protest. Lester.
Stephanie Goss tonight in Chicago. Thank you. ISIS has now claimed responsibility for today's deadly terror attack in Indonesia's capital, a brazen daylight assault in a busy commercial district. As NBC's Kelly Cobiella reports, a series of blasts rocked the city and gun battles broke out in the streets.
For nearly 4 hours, the heart of Jakarta was a battlefield. Twin explosions, one outside a Starbucks, another at a nearby police booth. Crowds ran for safety and victims laid on the ground as police and the attackers opened fire. Police called it a Paris-style attack targeting Westerners close to the U.S. Embassy, the Presidential Palace, and the United Nations building. The UN's Jeremy Douglas tweeted, a massive bomb went off in front of our new Indonesia office.
As I got out of the car with my colleague, a second bomb went off. We darted into the building because at that point we quickly realized this is not good.
But when it was all over, the death toll was much lower than Paris. 7 dead, 5 of them militants, the victims a Canadian and an Indonesian. Inside this Starbucks, the windows shattered, but only one customer was injured.
These were relatively crude devices, so that's probably what kept the death toll low.
Indonesian security services had been warning of a possible attack for weeks, and ISIS today claimed responsibility. Tonight, the U.S. Embassy warned Americans there that more attacks are possible. Kelly Cobiella, NBC News, London.
We are learning that the CDC could issue a travel warning as soon as tomorrow, urging pregnant women not to travel to certain areas of the Caribbean, Central, and South America. In those regions, the Zika virus, which is transmitted by mosquitoes, is blamed for thousands of birth defects. As our Tom Costello reports, there's concern it could spread here.
In northern Brazil, a mother's worst nightmare, babies born with microcephaly, abnormally small heads, and brain damage that often leads to death. Researchers believe mosquitoes are spreading the Zika virus, infecting pregnant mothers who then pass it on to babies in the womb. While the symptoms in adults are usually short-lived and nothing more than a rash, fever, and joint pain, A staggering 3,500 Brazilian babies have been born with microcephaly in just the past year. Tropical disease specialists say Zika is spreading fast.
The Gulf Coast of the United States is an extremely vulnerable area because we have both species of mosquitoes that can transmit these arboviruses, including Zika.
Zika originated in Africa and moved quickly through Asia, the Caribbean, South and Central America. Health experts have been cautioning anyone traveling to the regions to protect themselves from mosquitoes. Now, the CDC is preparing a travel warning advising women of childbearing age and pregnant women to avoid the areas.
What we will likely see more of are people who travel to the region, get infected, and come back home to the United States.
At least one woman in Texas is thought to have already returned with the virus.
Whoa.
In New Jersey, Ashley D'Amato Stoller is pregnant with her fourth child and just called off a planned vacation to Puerto Rico.
The severity to the baby, if I was infected, could be very high. And when it's your baby, you just don't take a chance.
With no vaccine currently available, researchers today unveiled a map warning that mosquitoes could soon carry the virus out of the Caribbean into Florida and beyond. Meanwhile, as Brazil prepares for this summer's Olympics, the Zika virus is bringing heartbreak and fear. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
They beat the odds, and now life is about to change profoundly for the folks who hold the three winning tickets in the unprecedented $1.6 billion Powerball jackpot. One of those tickets was sold at a 7-Eleven store in Southern California. Miguel Almaguer is following the story for us from Chino Hills.
35 miles outside of Los Angeles, everyone felt like a winner. Free Slurpees at this 7-Eleven. It's one of three stores in three states to sell winning tickets in the record-setting $1.6 billion Powerball jackpot.
Everybody went nuts. I came down here maybe an hour after the news, and there was already half the town here.
Today,
it's awesome.
So wonderful.
The winners are still a mystery.
It is amazing. It puts Chino Hills on the map.
But store owner Balbir Atwal will get $1 million bonus for selling a ticket in the $1 billion prize. He says he'll share it with employees, the needy, and family. Can you believe it, America? California isn't the only Golden State tonight. At this Publix in Melbourne, Florida. And at this grocery store in tiny Mumford, Tennessee, population 6,000, where everyone knows everyone, more winners.
Wonderful. I just wish it had been me.
A whopping 73 tickets will also be cashed in for a cool $1 million, including a group of 11 preschool teachers in Paducah, Kentucky. So what were the odds? 1 in 292 million. Or as seen on social media, your winning numbers, you lost. Go back to work.
The winners will all have a few months to step forward and collect their prize. Even when you divide that big jackpot into three, before tax, you're taking home roughly $530 million. Even after Uncle Sam takes his cut, it's probably enough to quit your job and buy your dream home or dream homes. Lester.
All right, Miguel Almaguer tonight in California. Thank you. Still ahead tonight on NBC News Exclusive, Amal Clooney steps into the spotlight. Her first interview on American TV, the battle she's taken all the way to Washington, and how she feels about the effect her famous marriage has on her mission. There is nothing like star power when it comes to promoting a good cause. The work that Amal Clooney has done for 15 years received just that kind of boost when she married one of Hollywood's biggest stars, George Clooney. She is a highly regarded international human rights lawyer who was in Washington this week meeting with top officials about a case in which she says U.S. values are at stake. Amal Clooney sat down with our Cynthia McFadden in her first American Network TV interview.
Mrs. Clooney went to Washington this week. Her mission, pushing the U.S. to get tough on human rights abuses half a world away.
We're here to ask the administration to impose targeted sanctions. We'd also hope that Congress could play a role.
And we'll go to work on it.
While it's all business for the highly regarded 37-year-old Oxford-educated human rights lawyer, there is plenty of unspoken curiosity about the Amal Clooney married to the Hollywood superstar. But nobody brings it up, as she and co-counsel Jared Genzer, both of whom are working for free, make their case. Their goal is to get the U.S. to freeze bank accounts and impose travel bans on the regime leaders in the Maldives, a country better known as a vacation paradise than the extremist state it's becoming.
The Maldives has the highest rate of ISIS fighters being recruited from that country per capita in the world. If you look at the State Department reports and UN reports, the figures are at least 200 fighters who've gone to Iraq and Syria from the Maldives.
Is democracy dead in the Maldives?
Democracy is dead in the Maldives. I mean, literally, if there were an election now, there would be no one to run against the president. Every opposition leader is either behind bars or being pursued by the government through the courts.
Including her client, the first democratically elected president of the country, Mohamed Nasheed. He's currently locked up for 13 years on a terrorism conviction the UN says is bogus. In September, just days before she was to go visit Nasheed in prison, the local lawyer she was working with was stabbed in the head.
One would imagine that that was in part trying to send a message to you. Do you worry about your safety?
I mean, it wasn't the most comfortable position to be in, but, you know, I was determined to go. It meant a lot to me to meet Nasheed, who I had read about and I considered a hero. I was inspired by his leadership on climate justice, his leadership on human rights.
If we do not act now, my island nation will be submerged by the rising sea.
And I thought to myself, the world needs more Nasheed.
After a coup that forced him from office, Nasheed was eventually dragged into court, where he wasn't allowed to call even a single witness.
It's very clear that this was just a sham trial designed to get him out of the political scene and in prison.
And while the list of world leaders now calling for Nasheed's release is impressive, it is one of his lawyers, a reluctant celebrity, who may be getting the most traction.
You know, many years ago, Angelina Jolie said to me that she understood that she was going to get attention. And if she could use all of that light and energy that was coming towards her and turn it around. I mean, is that how you feel about the celebrity?
I think it's wonderful that celebrities would choose to spend their time or energy or, you know, the spotlight that they have to raise awareness about these causes. I don't really see myself in the same way because I'm still doing the same job that I used to do before. If there's more attention paid for whatever reason to that, then I think that's good. you know, I think there is a certain responsibility that comes with that. I think I'm exercising it in an appropriate manner by continuing to do this kind of work.
She leaves with a commitment that a sanctions resolution will be introduced in Congress and a promise from senior government officials they are now considering taking serious action. Cynthia McFadden, NBC News, Washington.
A very rare January hurricane has formed in the Atlantic Ocean. It's something that hasn't happened since 1938. Hurricane Alex is a Category 1 with winds of 85 miles per hour, and it has some of Portugal's islands under a hurricane watch, a hurricane warning, I should say. Scientists are linking the storm to effects from this year's monster El Nino. That will do it for us on this Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.
Thank you.